Well, the Hogs were close, but couldn't pull off the upset. But you know, I'm still feeling pretty good about it.
You are Locked On Razorbacks, your daily podcast on the Arkansas Razorbacks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome into the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. I am your host, John Neighbors. I am also the host of Out of Bounds. You can catch every weekday afternoon from 1 to 4 on 103.7 The Buzz and 1037thebuzz.com. Hope everybody's had a wonderful weekend, as I know that there's a lot of things to talk about in today's episode, mainly going to be basketball driven. We'll get into a little baseball there at the end of the podcast as well. But Arkansas fell short against Alabama on the road. I kind of felt like, if you listen to last week's podcast, I felt like this was going to be a close game. I think even said it was going to be a great game come down to the wire, which it did in some respects, maybe not in the way that most people would have thought, but Arkansas loses 86-83. They lose by 3 points and had a final shot with Ricky Council to possibly be sending it into overtime, but did not go in, and Arkansas now has the season sweep of Alabama this year. And, you know, it's weird because we'll talk about some of the specific stats and everything to come from it as well, some of the drama that surrounded it here too. But I feel good about it. You know, Arkansas played a really good game, especially in the first half. Like, Arkansas was up 37-28 going into halftime. And you could not have asked for a more picture-perfect basketball half that Arkansas could have played on the road against a team like Alabama. They were spreading the ball around. They didn't have a whole lot of turnovers. They held Alabama to poor shooting performance. And, you know, they were being smart with the basketball and being able to make some really big plays. And even if you just look at the first half stats, it's pretty incredible because Arkansas shot 40% from the field. They shot 33% from three-point line. They only went 1 of 3. And then they went 8 of 9 from the free throw line, where Bama shot 33%, 10% from the three-point line, and then 77% from the foul line. Alabama had 10 turnovers compared to Arkansas 6. Nick Smith had 10 points, led all scorers. Nobody on Alabama had double-digit points. And it just seemed like that was, I mean, perfect. Like, that's the type of performance that you would need in this game for Arkansas to be able to take care of business. But I even tweeted about it as halftime started up, that I was like, okay, this is great. You're doing great, Arkansas. But Alabama's really good. They're going to make a run. So you got to weather the storm. You know, Eric Musselman always says that there's roughly about 3 runs in every game. If you win 2 out of those 3, you usually win the game pretty much all the time. You know, it's a very high clip as far as the success rate that goes along with it. Well, Arkansas definitely won the run in the first half, but did not win it in the second half, and did not win the second one because it did not take very long for Alabama to completely and totally erase that 9-point deficit, so much so that they even took the lead and even led by 12 points. So night and day difference, as Alabama went from scoring 28 points in the first half to 58 points in the second half. Nearly 60 points is what it took to beat the Razorbacks. And there were some frustrations that really poured over. Arkansas offensively, just in that second half, they had good shots. They actually were taking good shots. They had good looks, just couldn't make them. And then they get to the free throw line. And Arkansas, who shot really well from the free throw line in the first half, in the second half, not so much. They went 8 of 9 first half, and then they go 12 of 20 in the second half. And it wasn't even just the fact that they missed 8 free throws, but it was the fact that when they missed those free throws. You know, Ricky Council, who's been pretty good at the free throw line and was good in the first half, goes up and misses 3 in a row. You know, Devo misses some. You know, just things that were extremely frustrating. Mikhail Mitchell, I think, missed 2 free throws there into the game. That was really, really tough. So just about a 6 to 7 minute span of the second half of basketball is what made the difference in this game. Arkansas just couldn't score. Bama could score. And it was pretty much all she wrote. I will give a lot of credit. Now, I'm not someone who's going to be talking about moral victories a whole lot because I don't think it really matters all that much. But I do want to give credit where credit is due. And I think all of you should as well. Arkansas was down by 12 points in this game with like 2:40 left to go. Like, they were down by 12 points with under 3 minutes to go in this game. And they had a chance to tie it with the final shot of the game. Again, not just here for moral victories, but if there was a way that could make me feel even better about the loss, it was showing that this team did not give up. They did not give up whatsoever. They kept fighting. They kept grinding. It was unfortunately too little too late, but they did everything they possibly could to try to right the ship and win this game. Arkansas had three dudes with 20 points in this game. Nick Smith, phenomenal. 24 points for him. Had six rebounds and an assist. Also had Devo Davis, who had a really good game too. 21 points, 8 of 15 from the field, 3 of 4 from three-point land, while also getting five rebounds. And then Ricky Council coming off the bench. He had 20 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 10 of 14 from the free throw line, and had one rebound. So it was mainly points for those guys. And then Mikel Mitchell had 8 rebounds. You had Jordan Walsh, who had 7 rebounds. Again, Nick Smith had 6, which was really good. Devo had 5. Anthony Black, though, played one of his worst games. And I hate that for him because he's been so good this year, but really, really had a bad game compared to what we're seeing. He only played 16 minutes because he fouled out of the game, had 3 turnovers, only 2 assists, 7 points on 2 of 7 from the field. Got an early foul trouble there, and just he just wasn't his game. He just had to chalk it up to that as well. And Nick Smith played all 40 minutes of this game too, and Arkansas needed him. But then Brandon Miller, which we'll talk about him and everything that happened with him, he had 24 points in this game. Quinterly had 16 points off the bench, and Sears also had 13 points, and then a few other guys got involved there too. But still, it sucks. Like, it sucks that Arkansas did not do enough to win the game. And it sucks that they had a lead there at halftime and just was unable to finish. And now that, I think the most disappointing thing about it is now that it is 5 games that Arkansas on the road has had a lead at halftime and has lost the game 5 times. It's the 4th game this year that they've lost by 3 points. Baylor was one of those. LSU was one of those. A&M was one of those. Like, they had these close matchups, but just couldn't get over the top. So again, it was frustrating, and everybody was frustrated and upset. And some people were just coming up with some of the most ridiculous, like, synopsises of what happened. Which I didn't understand it whatsoever. Some people were just coming out and saying that this game is all on Muss. Horrible job coaching, got completely and totally outcoached. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What did Muss do? Because people were bringing up, Anthony Black was a liability. Shouldn't have been in the game. Okay, he all year long has been your second best player, in some cases your best player on the court, game after game after game after game after game after game after game. And it's not just because of his scoring, it's because of all the other things that he does well. He had a bad game. But because he has a bad, because he got out in the first half pretty early, but because he had a bad, like, 6-7 minute stretch, or at least the first 6 or 7 minutes of his game time, you're not just yanking him out when he's one of your best players. Great players have bad games. It happens. But you're just not going to pull him and yank him and then just throw it in and be like, well, Anthony, even though you've been awesome all year long and even though you've been great, we're taking you out of this game because, we're going to put somebody else in that's better. Because there wasn't anybody that was better. But just AB had a bad game. And so I don't have that any problem with how Muss handled that or how he handled the substitutions or anything like that. It honestly just, to me, came down to that drought. Arkansas's got to put the ball in the hole. I mean, they had good shots. I think that, of course, defensively, there were some breakdowns there too, and it seemed like they really kind of lost themselves down low. So that was frustrating. But you held them to 3 of 22 from the three-point line, which cracks me up because two of the final 3 three-pointers came really late in the game. So you did a really good job on the outside, just started letting them get in inside on you, started letting them get to the free throw line where they were making you pay, and you didn't hit your shots. And that stretch is what made all the difference in the world. So now you're sitting where you got 2 games left. You got at Tennessee and Kentucky at home. I still feel really good about those games. I think Arkansas beats Tennessee. I know we'll talk about that a lot more tomorrow. But I just like their chances. I like the way that they're playing right now. And Arkansas's offense has been about as good as you could ask right now. As good as you could ask. And in fact, that's kind of what the point I wanted to make. And I'm sure people will come after me and start calling me all the names in the book because maybe I'm too positive or too optimistic or whatever it may be. And that's fine. That's fine. But if you think about Arkansas and what they've done in 3 straight games offensively, They've scored 84 points, 97 points, and 83 points. And 83 points against arguably the best team in the country in Alabama on the road. Now, look at the games before that. You know how many times that they've actually scored 80 points before that? They scored 88 against Kentucky on the road, which was Arkansas's best shooting performance like of all time in SEC play. And then they scored 81 against A&M at home. But besides that, Arkansas really has not scored in the 80s very often in SEC play, if at all. Like most of the time, it was in the 50s or in the 60s. That was it. But what's been the difference? Nick Smith has been the difference. The offense is starting to click. I think the defense has been really good. Again, the second half was not good for Arkansas against Bama, but they're still a dangerous team. And I still think that the reasons Arkansas had lost so many games this year, especially in conference plays, they didn't have the offense to go along with it. You know, think about these are the point totals in some of the games that Arkansas had in conference play in the games they lost. 57 points, 59 points, 69 points, 76 points, 64 points, 64 points, 56 points. Low scoring affairs, but now you got the offense rolling at a pretty high clip compared to what it was before. So I like where they're at. I really do. I like where they're at. I like where they're going. It's a frustrating game to lose to Alabama, especially the way you did and when you had a lead. But I'm still feeling good. I'm feeling good about these final two games. Now, it can change pretty quickly if Arkansas comes out and totally lays an egg against Tennessee on the road. That will be quite the change. But I think that at this point in time, when you're thinking about the teams that are playing at their best level, Arkansas is playing at their best that they have all season long. And I thought this was a really well put point. I wish I could remember who gave it or who put it out there, because I'd like to give them credit for it. But again, maybe going with the ultimate glass half full thing. Alabama is, at least in my opinion, I think they're the best team in the country. I hate saying it, but it's true. I think they're the best team in the country. And you went on the road to their place and gave them all that they wanted. And then when they came back and started getting, all right, now we're taking care of business. Now we can put them out of their misery. They didn't. And you stormed back and you nearly tied it up to send it to overtime. Okay? You did that against the best team in the country at their place. If you play that level against almost anyone else in the country, especially at home or on a neutral court, you will beat those teams. Like if Arkansas plays the way that they did against Tennessee, or against the way they did against Alabama against Tennessee, Arkansas will beat Tennessee on the road. They'll beat Kentucky at home. I'm not saying they played perfectly against Bama. They lost the game. But I think a lot of credit also has to be given to Alabama, too, being at home. So I was just so impressed with that performance, and I was so happy with the way that they just went all out about it. And again, I feel great. I feel great about it. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe y'all are just looking at me funny and starting to throw things at me, and that's fine. But I like it. I like where they're at. I like what I saw against Bama, even though, again, I'd rather have won. But we'll see how it goes against Tennessee. This team's playing better. They're dangerous. They're still a dangerous team. And I'm telling you right now, if they go on the road and beat Tennessee, and especially if they beat them in like a convincing way, or at least in a good way, which Tennessee's good, got to give them credit, but if they go out and do that, then people are really going to start saying, okay, yeah, this is the way it's going. And then you got that big game at Kentucky or against Kentucky at home. It'll be a wild one. And a lot of people, myself included, won't be able to contain themselves and the excitement surrounding it as well. We'll talk about one of the controversies, though. Again, one of the other controversies that happened with this Arkansas-Alabama game here in just a second. But first, I got to tell you about Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you got to try Built Bar. And with the holiday season, we've already gone through it. We're getting closer to St. Patrick's Day, which I guess is the next big one. There's going to be a lot of sweets dealing with that. Well, here's the best thing is that Built Bar has so many different delicious flavors to choose from. And a lot of times, if you want to go with the green theme, they have that too. They got the mint chocolate flavor, which is really good. I mean, all their flavors are really good, but they have peanut butter brownie, they have churro, they have coconut almond. It doesn't matter what it is. All of them taste great. All of them taste amazing, and they're healthy for you. So you got to check them out at built.com, or you can go to your local Walmart or Sam's Club and check out the boxes that they have there at the pharmacy. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. They have a 4-bar box or what, a 13-bar box, depending on where you go. But if you're at a Walmart or Sam's, check out Built Bar in the pharmacy section. You can also check out their website at built.com.
You are Locked On Razorbacks, your daily podcast on the Arkansas Razorbacks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so moving on into the next segment of the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. I promise, folks, this is going to be the last time I bring up Brandon Miller, at least in this regard. But because it's something that's topical and something that happened in the Arkansas game, I think it has to be discussed because I'm honestly sick and tired of talking about it, too. But I'm also sick and tired of Alabama and the people involved being completely and totally tone deaf about everything that's been going on with the situation. So I'll just have this happen here. So basically what it was is that during warmups for Alabama, Brandon Miller has a certain ritual that he goes through when the starting lineups take place. And here is the video, so you can just see it for yourself, especially if you're watching here on YouTube. Take a watch. Now, that didn't sit well with people. And for those of you who are listening, it was they were patting him down as if they were searching him for a weapon, kind of like that would happen in airports or prisons or whatever it is, like that they were patting him down. So really bad look and really tone deaf. Now, I know that this is something that Brandon Miller has done virtually every game, but it doesn't make it right. And when that happened, I a lot of people were tweeting about it, saying, how tone deaf can you be? And the Bama fans were coming out in full force saying, hey, does it every game. Jeez, leave the kid alone. Okay, well, how about this? Nate Oates, before his press conference even got started with asking questions, this is how he responded, where he wanted to try to get ahead of it as quickly as possible.
So before I get started on the game, it was brought to my attention after the game about our pregame introductions. I think that's something that's been going on all year. I don't really know. I don't watch our introductions. I'm not involved with them. I'm drawing up plays during that time. Regardless, it's not appropriate. It's been addressed, and I can assure you it definitely will not happen again the remainder of this year. So
Nate Oates says it's not appropriate. So all you Bama fans that were saying that he does it all the time, no big deal. Well, apparently it was a big enough deal to make him stop doing it. So first off, Nate Oates in that video, just you can tell he is so out of his element when it comes to trying to work through crisis management. He has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea what he's supposed to do. You can just tell he is uncomfortable with everything going on as he should be. But you can also, at least the vibe I get, I'm no expert, but the vibe I get is it's one of those things too where it's kind of like he knows what's going on is wrong. He knows what's going on should not be something that's okay, but he can't, he's got to just hold his own. So he's just kind of, fidgeting and then, moving the microphone around and, looking down and, going over here and, looking away. Like he's just doing all these things to try to distract himself from what the actual problem that is going on happens to be. And it's just, it's, again, really frustrating and annoying. And here's the thing. He's not going to get suspended. Nothing's going to happen to him unless some new evidence arises, which I doubt it will. Maybe it does, but I doubt it will. Nothing's changing on that. But the comments, again, Nate Oates is so bad at this because he sits there and says, like, if he just says less, he would probably be a little bit better. But when he's saying, he's like, introductions or anything. I'm drawing up plays. Okay. Even if that's true, which I have a hard time believing that in all the games this year, you never notice what any of the players are doing in the introductions. You have a staff that does. You have people under you that do. They know what these things are. And they know the walk-on that patted him down, they know. They know what his ritual is. And so if that's the case and that they do know that, then they should have been the ones that said, hey, that we need to stop. This is a bad look. I know that, you may not mean anything by it, but it's a bad look considering the circumstances. They should have stepped in. Or Nate Oates, which is in, I still don't believe him in saying that he has no idea what Brandon Miller does, because I have a feeling that if there was a player on any other basketball team, even Arkansas, that did the same introduction ritual every single game, I'm sure Muss would have an idea of what it was. I'm sure he would. But if that's the case and you didn't know yourself, someone on your staff has to know and someone has to step in. And this is just continues to go with the whole line and the whole premise that you do not care about what happened. You don't care. You say you do. You say your thoughts and prayers go to that family and to that woman. And like, oh, you say that, but from all the reports and the way you've handled this whole thing, you started off with wrong place, wrong time. And then this happens. It's like, oh, I don't see it. And then, you know, Brandon Miller doing it. It's like, you do not care. And so that's my whole thing with this whole deal. Is just, I understand that if you go through the legal system, and I'm even at the point where it's like, okay, I'm moving on from even the way you didn't suspend him or anything, which I still felt like you should have done. I'm even moving on from that because that's not going to change anything. I've already discussed that. And I've already said my piece on that. But these are the things that continue to go on and show that you just do not care. You don't care. So stop trying to act like you care. All you care about is winning a championship. All you care about is keeping Brandon Miller eligible and able to play. All you care about is him going out and helping the team win games, which, you know, the way it's going, who knows? Maybe it'll bring you a national championship, and good for you, Alabama, if that happens. But the whole perspective of everyone involved in the situation from the University of Alabama have been completely and totally tone deaf, and it is just horrible. I feel like I'm always just in a twilight zone about how they, on that side, just think everything's fine and dandy. And it's just so... And then finally, Alabama people, some media people, and even some fans, not all of them, because most of the fans are dumb, but a lot of the fans were even saying, okay, yeah, this is a bad look. This is a bad look. Of course it is. They know it. They should have known it's a bad look, but they don't care. They don't care. So I guess we won't be seeing the pat down. I'm sure whatever, you know, he'll probably do something else dumb or something else tone deaf. And then Nate Oates will have to respond to it once again and just fidget in his seat and just be like, I was over there. I was using the restroom and it happened. And I don't know what happened. I was, wow. It's okay. Okay. Good. Thanks. Thanks, Nate. Glad you got a pulse on your team. So anyways, enough about that. Hopefully we don't have to bring up Brandon Miller ever again, but that is something we did have to discuss. Want to do a little bit of Razorback baseball and them winning their first home series of the weekend on the other side. So stay with us.
You are Locked On Razorbacks, your daily podcast on the Arkansas Razorbacks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so final segment of the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. Arkansas baseball takes care of business against Eastern Illinois in their three-game series, but only won two of them. So they took care of business in game one and game two. In fact, they destroyed them in game one, 13-2. Then they destroyed them again in game two, 10-3. So it took care of business and really looked good doing it. But in the Sunday game, things did not go very well as Arkansas lost 12-3 in the series finale. They're 6-2 on the year. They're still going to be fine. They still won the series because that's really the only thing that matters. You know, as those of you who watch college baseball and know college baseball, winning the series, only thing that matters. You'd love to sweep them, of course. You want to win all the games, but it's not something that's going to hurt you or going to make people think less of you. At least it shouldn't, at least the people that matter. But yeah, game three just got out of hand and got out of hand quickly. And Arkansas was just unable to bounce back. He had a really tough showing there out of Hunter Holland, who he only allowed two runs and he struck out four. So he did look good as far as him coming out there and doing enough. But the bullpen is what really got bad because they had a combined 10 runs in the seventh and eighth innings alone. So Adcock struggled as he came in out of the bullpen. He gave up a lot. And in fact, I think that he got two quick outs. And that's what was frustrating too, is it was all with two outs. And then the Panthers ended up tying the game on a double to right field by Lincoln Riley. Still makes me laugh. It's Lincoln Riley. But they took a 6-3 lead and then back-to-back home runs. And they were up there like that. It was all about six runs. And then after that, then it just got, like I said, the wheels start falling off. Zach Morris came in, did not look good either. He allowed three of the four hitters he faced, reached bases, and then Gage Wood took over, and then they walked two hitters after that. So just wasn't a great performance in game three. But again, it's fine. It's fine. Arkansas won the series. Still got some good things going on for them. And now they got to get ready for their next game against Illinois State on Wednesday. So That'll be hopefully a pretty good matchup there, and they can take care of business of those midweek twos and be able to add it up. But still, the SEC has struggled. Like, A&M lost their series and almost got swept by a team that, like, I didn't even know was a team. And honestly, I didn't even know that they existed, because I was laughing about it. I was like, wait a minute. Is that actually a team that looks good? Is Portland? Is that the Trailblazers? No, Portland. Portland ended up winning the series. And again, A&M won 5-4, and they had to walk it off with a 2-RBI double. So they were down heading into the bottom of the ninth inning, and they had to walk it off. So they didn't look good. LSU lost a game and looked like trash. Tennessee suspended Tony Patello, which is still funny to me. But, so the SEC, you know, there's been some struggles in the opening games, in the opening series, for some of these good teams that people have been bringing up. So Arkansas losing one, no big deal, but got a lot more games in front of them and should look hopefully a lot better and get better as the season goes on. But I like the hitting. I like the offense. I like parts of the pitching too. So it's just about coming together and making it better. And hopefully it ends up being another good season for the Razorbacks. But either way, appreciate all of you listening into the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Google Play. You can also get after me on Twitter, @BuzzJohnNeighbors, for any questions, comments, concerns that you may have. We'll keep it going from there. Same podcast time, same podcast channel tomorrow afternoon. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you then.